So what is the elephant in the room? It's the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I am your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. How are you today? Our reading today is Leviticus 16 through 18. I'll have some thoughts after the reading, and I'm calling today's episode, The Plumb Line. The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E201. That's right, tomorrow's show 202 of the 12th season. We'll talk about that just a little bit later in the show. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Are you ready? Let's get going. Leviticus 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, when they approached the presence of the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother that he must not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil canopy in front of the atonement plate that is on the ark, so that he may not die, for I will appear in the cloud over the atonement plate. In this way Aaron is to enter into the sanctuary, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He must put on a holy linen tunic. Linen leggings are to cover his body, and he is to wrap himself with a linen sash and wrap his head with a linen turban. They are holy garments, so he must bathe his body in water and put them on. He must also take two male goats from the congregation of the Israelites for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron is to present the sin offering bull, which is for himself, and is to make atonement on behalf of himself and his household. He must then take the two goats and stand before them, before the Lord, at the entrance of the meeting tent. And Aaron is to cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and one lot for Azazel. Aaron must then present the goat which has been designated by lot for the Lord, and he is to make it a sin offering. But the goat which has been designated by lot for Azazel is to be stood alive before the Lord to make atonement on it by sending it away to Azazel and to the wilderness. Aaron is to present the sin offering bull which is for himself, and he is to make atonement on behalf of himself and his household. He is to slaughter the sin offering bull which is for himself, and take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and a full double handful of finely ground fragrant incense, and bring them inside the veil canopy. He must then put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense will cover the atonement plate which is above the ark of the testimony, so that he will not die. Then he is to take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the eastern face of the atonement plate. And in front of the atonement plate, he is to sprinkle some of the blood seven times with his finger. He must then slaughter the sin offering goat which is for the people. He is to bring its blood inside the veil canopy, and he is to do with its blood just as he did to the blood of the bull. He is to sprinkle it on the atonement plate and in front of the atonement plate. So he is to make atonement for the holy place from the impurities of the Israelites and from their transgressions with regard to all their sins. And thus he is to do for the meeting tent, which resides with them in the midst of their impurities. Nobody is to be in the meeting tent when he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he goes out and he has made atonement on his behalf, on behalf of his household, and on behalf of the whole assembly of Israel. Then he is to go out to the altar which is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He is to take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it all around on the horns of the altar. Then he is to sprinkle on it some of the blood with his finger seven times, and cleanse and consecrate it from the impurities of the Israelites. When he has finished purifying the holy place, the meeting tent, and the altar, he is to present the live goat. Aaron is to lay his two hands on the head of the live goat, and confess over it all the iniquities of the Israelites and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he is to put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man standing ready. The goat is to bear on itself all their iniquities into an inaccessible land. So he is to send the goat away in the wilderness. Aaron must then enter the meeting tent and take off the linen garments which he had put on when he entered the sanctuary, and leave them there. Then he must bathe his body in water in a holy place, put on his clothes, and go out and make his burnt offering and the people's burnt offering. So he is to make atonement on behalf of himself and the people. Then he is to offer up the fat of the sin offering in smoke on the altar. And the one who sent the goat away to Azazel must wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and afterward he may re-enter the camp. The bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought to make atonement in the holy place, must be brought outside the camp, and their hide, their flesh, and their dung must be burned up. And the one who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may re-enter the camp. This is to be a perpetual statute for you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you must humble yourselves and do no work of any kind, both the native citizen and the foreigner who resides in your midst. For on this day, atonement is to be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. You must be clean before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest for you, and you must humble yourselves. It is a perpetual statute. The priest who is anointed and ordained to act as high priest in place of his father is to make atonement. He is to put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and he is to purify the most holy place. He is to purify the meeting tent and the altar, and he is to make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This is to be a perpetual statute for you to make atonement for the Israelites for all their sins once a year. So he did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Leviticus chapter 17. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron, his sons, and all the Israelites that this is what the Lord has commanded. Any Israelite who slaughters a bull, sheep, or goat inside or outside the camp is guilty of bloodshed. He has shed blood and must be excluded from the people. Bring the animal to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Offer it to the Lord in front of the Lord's tent. This means that the people of Israel must take the sacrifices they have been making in the open fields and bring them to the Lord. They must bring them to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The people will sacrifice them as fellowship offerings to the Lord. The priest will pour the blood against the Lord's altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He will burn the fat as a soothing aroma to the Lord. The people must stop sacrificing to goat idols and chasing after them as though they were prostitutes. This is a permanent law for the people and for future generations. Tell them, if Israelites or foreigners make burnt offerings or sacrifices, but do not bring them to the entrance of the tent of meeting to offer them to the Lord, they must be excluded from the people. If Israelites or foreigners eat any blood, I will condemn them and exclude them from the people, because blood contains life. I have given this blood to you to make peace with me on the altar. Blood is needed to make peace with me. That is why I have said to the people of Israel, neither you nor foreigners should ever eat blood. If Israelites or foreigners hunt any animal or bird that may be eaten, they must pour out the animal's blood and cover it with dirt. This is because the life of any creature is in its blood. So I have said to the people of Israel, never eat any blood, because the life of any creature is in its blood. Whoever eats blood must be excluded from the people. Native Israelites or foreigners who eat the body of an animal that dies naturally or is killed by another animal must wash their clothes and their bodies. They will be unclean until evening. Then they will be clean. If they don't wash their clothes and their bodies, they will be guilty of sin. Leviticus chapter 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, I am the Lord your God. You used to live in Egypt. Don't live the way the Egyptians do. I am bringing you to Canaan. Don't live the way the Canaanites do. Never live by their standards. Follow my rules and live by my standards. I am the Lord your God. Live by my standards and obey my rules. You will have life through them. I am the Lord. Never have sexual intercourse with anyone related to you by blood. I am the Lord. Never have sexual intercourse with your mother. She is your own mother. Never have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with your stepmother. She is related to you through your father. Never have sexual intercourse with your stepsister, whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. It makes no difference whether or not she was born in your house. Never have sexual intercourse with your granddaughter, whether she is your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, because she is related to you. Never have sexual intercourse with the daughter of your father and his wife. She is your own sister. Never have sexual intercourse with your father's sister. She is your paternal aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with your mother's sister. She is your maternal aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with the wife of your father's brother. She, too, is your aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Never have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with your sister-in-law. She is your brother's wife. Never have sexual intercourse with a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. They are related. Doing this is perverted. While your wife is living, never marry her sister as a rival wife and have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with a woman while she is unclean during her monthly period. Never have sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife and become unclean with her. Never give your children as sacrifices to the god Molech by burning them alive. If you do, you are dishonoring the name of your God. I am your God. Never have sexual intercourse with a man as with a woman. It is disgusting. Never have sexual intercourse with any animal and become unclean with it. A woman must never offer herself to an animal for sexual intercourse. It is unnatural. Do not become unclean in any of these ways. By these practices, all the nations which I am forcing out of your way have become unclean. The land has become unclean. I will punish it for its sins. The land will vomit out those who live in it. Live by my standards and obey my rules. Neither you nor any foreigner should ever do any of these disgusting things. The people of the land who were there before you did all these disgusting things. As a result, the land has become unclean. If you make the land unclean, it will vomit you out as it has vomited out the people who were there before you. Whoever does any of these disgusting things must be excluded from the people. So you must follow my instructions. Don't live by the standards of the people who lived there before you. What they do is disgusting. Never become unclean that way. I am the Lord your God.
All right, well, every so often this topic comes up. It becomes an elephant in the room, and we're going to talk about it today. The elephant I'm talking about was in chapter 18. I've talked about it on the show before, and there's always a drop in the number of downloads of the show afterwards. Some people decide they no longer want to listen. They disagree with me. Well, I don't mind if they disagree with me, but in disagreeing with the clear teaching of Scripture, they're disagreeing with God, and that makes me sad. As long as I'm talking about love and light, they like what they hear, but when the teaching from God's Word gets hard, they don't want to hear it. Please don't turn away from God. His teaching is for our ultimate good. It's not to take away our fun. It is for our benefit, whether we understand it or not. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, a young pastor, said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Well, beloved, it's sad to say, but I think the day that he was talking about has arrived. Some people believe that the truth is hate. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. And by the way, this topic is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, I don't take advertisers on the show and why I'm not interested in having the show on any of the podcast networks. What I'm about to say would get me canceled. My job, though, as well as anyone who teaches the Word of God, is to accurately reflect what I believe is the clear teaching of the Bible, regardless of the current culture or even my own thoughts. The Bible is my plumb line. And in case you're not familiar with that phrase, a plumb line is used to show what is absolutely vertical and straight. It's usually a string with a weight tied on one end. I used to be in construction many years ago, and when building a wall, you want to build it vertically straight and true. And one of the tools you can use to show if the wall is straight is a plumb line. What you do is you hold onto the string that has the weight on it, and that weight is often called the plumb, P-L-U-M-B, with that plumb hanging down. So you got the picture, you're holding up a string, and at the bottom of the string is the plumb. If you're standing still, of course, and you're in an environment that has gravity, that string is hanging straight down. So when you're building a wall, what you do is you hold the line up next to, but not quite touching the wall. The string should be the same distance from the wall all the way from the top of the wall to where it's tied to the top of the plumb. If it's not equidistant all the way from top to bottom from the wall, then your wall is not exactly vertical. So then you know you need to make adjustments if your goal is to make a vertical wall. Makes sense? I hope I didn't mess up the explanation. The bottom line is the plumb line is an absolute standard of what is straight and true. That's what the Bible is. What it says is truth. If there's any variation from what the Bible teaches or what the plumb is that the Bible teaches, then adjustments have to be made if your goal is to adhere to the standard. As believers, that should be our goal. If it's not your goal, then you have to have a conversation with yourself. You have to decide if you truly are a believer in Jesus, because he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He said that in John 14:15. So what is the elephant in the room? Yeah. In verse 22 of Leviticus, the plumb line says, "Don't have sex with a man as one does with a woman." This is disgusting, according to the God's Word translation. This is abomination, according to the King James. This is detestable, according to the Holman Christian Standard Bible. This is abhorrent, according to the Message. So you get the idea. Now, I know that more and more homosexuality is accepted as a lifestyle. But today's text and many others, by the way, tell us that God doesn't accept it. Billy Graham was once asked if he really believed that only Christians would get into heaven. Did he really believe that Jews or Muslims or Buddhists and people who had just lived good lives would not be allowed into heaven? Billy's response was perfect. I'm probably paraphrasing here, but he said this, "It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Bible thinks. If you don't agree, take it up with God." Now listen, I know some homosexual people, several as a matter of fact. I'm friendly with them, I don't hate them, and I'm certainly not afraid of them. You know, that's what phobic means, right? To have a phobia about something is to be afraid of it. Most of the homosexuals I know are decent, good people. But as long as they participate in the behavior, then they're out of God's will. But listen to this very, very carefully, beloved. Homosexuality is not worse than adultery. It's not worse than theft. It's not worse than gossiping. It's not worse than cheating on your taxes. It's a sin, and all sin separates us from God. And listen, all sin is forgivable, but one, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But that's a completely different topic. Remember what Jesus said when he forgave the woman caught in the act of adultery? He said, "Go and sin no more." Now, you can't be born again if you don't repent or turn from your sin. Yes, we all sin, even after being born again. But if we know what sin is and we refuse to turn away from it, then you have to question your salvation. Did you really submit to the Lordship of Jesus? He's more than just our Savior. He is our Lord as well. You know what Lord means, right? King, ruler, head honcho. El Jefe, if you will. And again, let me reiterate that this is true of any sin. It is not just homosexuality. Also, let me say that holding this belief about the correctness of this verse in Leviticus does not license anyone to mistreat homosexual people in any way. Our model is Jesus. The only people that he was ever cross with were the religious hypocrites. He never mistreated those sinners who came to him humbly. He treated them with love and respect. He didn't condone their behavior, but he didn't mistreat them. Sure, he did tell them that they should stop their sinful behavior, but notice, he never led with that. In other words, He first ministered to them. He met them where they were. He demonstrated that he cared about them. And then he told them to stop sinning. Standing on a street corner with a hateful sign is not the way Jesus changed hearts and minds, so I'm sure it's not what he would have us do today. So there you have it. When it comes to God's Word, I have to tell you the way I see it. I won't sugarcoat it. I won't compromise. I won't leave it out. I believe every word the Bible says, and since God doesn't change, I'm quite sure his word doesn't change either. If we try to change it, we do so at our peril. Now please hear me. I actually think it's a shame that so much is made of this one particular issue, because so much of the Bible tells us how much God loves us, how unwilling he is that any should perish, and how much he did to make it possible for anyone who will to have fellowship with him. But the pride of mankind makes it so difficult for some people to submit to God's lordship. If only they would realize that being in his will is infinitely better than being out of his will. I know, because I have spent periods in my life where I was soundly in violation of his will, as many of you listening probably have too. It's not a fun place to be long term, is it? Definitely not. When I'm living according to what I know to be right, according to the plumb line of God's word, there is a joy, a peace, and everything is right with the world assuredness that just can't be taken away. Sure, chaos and troubles continue to whirl around me and sometimes even affect my mood, ask the lovely Lady Leanne, but in my core, in my inner self, God's peace abides. Now, I'd love to hear your comments. If you disagree with me and you'd like to have a discussion, I'm open to that as long as the conversation is respectful. You can comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E201. And my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be 2 Kings 11 through 15.
Boost.
There's the music. It tells you that today we have a special producer. We have an associate producer today. Tim LaFontaine is this episode's associate producer. He came in with his monthly donation of $20. Thank you, Tim, very much. God bless you. I appreciate you, brother. Okay, well, depending on when you're listening to this, the deadline to participate in the episode 202 giving is nigh upon us. Tomorrow will be Tuesday. It'll be episode 202 of the 12th season of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and I'd like to have some fun with donations. I'm going to be straight with you. So far, nobody has sent anything in. I don't know if that means you don't care. I don't know if that means you're not listening to me all of a sudden. I don't know what it means. Maybe the show just doesn't mean that much to you. I don't know. I'm committed to doing the show if it matters to you, but if it doesn't matter, I don't know why I'm here. Maybe we won't make it to the end of the season. If you've just been putting it off, now's the time to do it. Donate just $2, and I'll thank you on show 202. Donate $22, and I'll thank you on the show. Plus, I'll send you a PDF copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. Donate $202, and I'll thank you on the show. I'll send you the PDF, and I'll send you a signed copy of the paperback version of the book, and you'll get an executive producership on show 202. I'm going to be recording the show today after 4 p.m. Pacific time. After that, I'm cutting it off. And if the participation isn't there, then I guess we're going to have to reevaluate things. To make your donation, go to lifespringmedia.com/support. Now, if you truly can't afford to send in a donation, listen, I get it. I've been there. But at least send an email. Let me know. That's fair, isn't it? steve@lifespringmedia.com. On this date in church history, March 21st, 1685, Johann Sebastian Bach was born. He, of course, was the German composer and musical genius. He was a Lutheran, and nearly three-quarters of his 1,000, get this, 1,000 compositions were written for use in Christian worship. I did not know that. And on this date in church history, March 21st, 1843, American Baptist lay preacher William Miller predicted that the second coming of Christ would occur on this date, March 21st, 1843. But of course, the day passed without incident. So what did he do? He didn't say, you know what, I was wrong. Nobody knows the time or the hour, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. No, he didn't do that. He adjusted his prediction of Christ's return to occur on the same date in 1844. And he was wrong again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are holy, you are righteous, you are just, and you're merciful. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to be yours. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, so that we can be in your presence, not just today, but throughout eternity. Lord, I thank you so much for the LifeSpring family. I ask that you bless them today, and I ask that you keep us all close to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Send in your prayer requests and praises at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Comments are welcome. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E201 or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Support the show. I need to hear from you. I need to know you're there. I need to know it matters. lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.